Welcome back to another episode of the PNY Pro Podcast. My name is Jerome, and I'm here with Derek Ellis.
Hello, everyone.
And today we have a very special guest. We actually have Sean Young. He is the Director of AECO and Geospatial Industry Marketing for NVIDIA. How's it going, Sean?
Good, thanks. How are you, Jerome?
I'm great. I'm great. I'm excited because I know we've had this conversation of really trying to get NVIDIA to be a part of the podcast. And we were like, oh man, we really want to make a great first statement, especially going off of the realms of our AECO previous virtual event, right,
Yeah.
recently. So we're really excited to have you back on board and get you on a podcast.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and again, yeah, thanks for being on the virtual event. It was great. Sean and I got to talk about, our tech solutions for AECO. So I guess kind of leading on to that, Sean, kind of stay on the realm of that is, how do you see NVIDIA positioning, its professional products to the AECO industry?
Yeah, well, the way I think about NVIDIA for the AECO is kind of a trifecta. So if you think about the traditional AECO ever since, so our AECO for your viewers and listeners who may not know what that means, architecture, engineering, and in engineering that means civil engineering, mechanical, electrical, plumbing engineering. It's not the kind of engineering that you do when you're building machines in factories. It's the kind of engineering that is needed for a construction site. Architecture, engineering, construction, and operations, which means building operations. Operations for everything from an office building all the way up to an airport. And you could kind of think about it and relate to it as a homeowner if you're doing like a smart home. That's a simple kind of view of a building operations with IoT devices. So as I was saying, that NVIDIA delivers the trifecta for this industry. If you go back to the CAD days, CAD was the first big revolution. Architects are trained to draw straight lines in school. Along comes CAD and enables them to design buildings and blueprints much more efficiently. Along comes 3D and BIM, and now they're able to generate a lot of data that goes into construction documents much more efficiently and also collaborate together. So the architects and the engineers and the construction teams can all collaborate with the building owners together around a BIM, which is effectively a 3D model with lots of data. And so that all runs on a computer. And the computer has a display, and that display needs to take a lot of those graphics, 3D graphics. And sometimes you want to take that BIM drawing, those the BIM model, and make it look beautiful, which is a rendering, and that's more graphics. So that's sort of where NVIDIA started. Now, NVIDIA, as you probably know, started as a graphics company, graphics card, GPU company.
Right.
So we've been in this space a long time, alongside the CPU and memory and storage that goes into our customers' typical workstations. But what's interesting is the GPU has evolved in terms of its utility for these customers, starting from graphics, and that's one part of the trifecta, but evolving into other things. So graphics used to be sort of the game level graphics, what you get off of your application viewport. And to get to do the 3D graphics in real time, which is what you need as you're designing, you need real time feedback. You want to spin the model around. You need a good graphics card, but it used to be limited to sort of a lower level of fidelity like you would get in a video game. To get the highest level of fidelity, that's called ray tracing, and that's using physics to throw photons around the scene and really get something that looks beautiful, as real as possible. Real lights and real shadows that really emulates or simulates what you would get in the real world. And that has not been possible to do in real time. And therefore, it was an offline push a button and wait overnight for it to compute on the CPU process for the longest time until NVIDIA invented RTX, which consists of some software, some SDKs that software developers can incorporate in their rendering tools, and our RTX GPU, which has RT cores, ray tracing cores built into the GPU. Now, for the first time, ray tracing could be done in real time. So graphics ray tracing, there are other things, but I'm going to pause and take them. I'll let you guys interject with some questions because I can just
Yeah.
ramble on
Yeah, no, you're
forever.
good. No, that's great. That's a
Yeah.
really good explanation of just the general of what is RT cores and how does ray tracing actually affect graphics. Because there's a lot of people who don't necessarily know the ins and outs, and they're just like, okay, RT cores, ray tracing, but how does this really affect the graphics? What
Yeah.
does this actually mean? So that's a great explanation.
Yeah, because you can it's easy to go to a product page or a data sheet and see RT cores, Tensor cores, and CUDA cores and all these cores, but like actually putting that perspective within the AECO industry, like how does that, correlate to it and how does it benefit it? And I think kind of going back to what you're saying, Sean, is I from what I hear too, is like these projects are only getting bigger and bigger and demanding more memory. So something like the 6000 Ada generation that has a lot of memory to help rendering and processing and photorealistic visuals. So going into that, I guess for I guess VR and virtual reality, how do you see that playing? Because I've seen stuff throughout social and just articles to where now we're in an era to where before you would break ground, you would do everything and you would do your walkthrough. But now with the availability of virtual reality, RTX GPUs, you can almost essentially walk your client through their model home before even breaking ground to make sure everything is right. And I think that leads into what you were saying too, Sean, is like simulating in terms of, okay, if my house is built here, the sun's gonna rise on this side, this house is gonna reflect off the windows, surfaces with inside as well. You can kind of, manipulate and see how that's gonna interact.
And even on that same note, like even using different headsets or goggles or glasses, they have that AR integrated into it as well. So that way you can again visually see what's happening.
Well, it's, I think XR is super important to AEC. And if you think about it, you go back like hundreds of years. So they were still building buildings and, drawings, sketches, or blueprints. But what they also used to do is try to do perspective images, and in what's called architectural illustration. This is, done by hand. And then that evolved to today to 3D rendering. And the whole point is customers, the people that are going to be using the building don't understand blueprints. It's hard to visualize the space, what it's going to be like to be inside. Do I really want that thing or do I want to move that wall over there? How are they supposed to know if they can't really, relate to it contextually? And so to have a contextual relationship, you need a sense of scale. 3D rendering really helps with that. And you have animated renderings and interactive real-time renderings, and you get a sense of scale. You can have people and cars and trees and furniture, and you start to understand the design, in three dimensions, the way we think. We don't think two-dimensionally, but nothing beats that level of immersion, like actually going into the building virtually inside of a VR headset. So VR is so important for that reason, because now you can like literally, walk around the space at one-to-one scale, look up and look down, and say that wall's, too, that corridor is too narrow. We need to move the wall. I don't like that here. There's not enough light coming in here, as if you were there. The next evolution in this technology, which I'm really proud of to be part of as at NVIDIA, is to enable ray tracing in VR. It's a really, really hard problem because, as you guys probably know, VR, you need 90 frames a second in order not to get nauseous. Normal displays are 30 frames a second. VR is 90 frames a second, and you have two eyes. So you have to generate 180 frames per second. And the VR headsets are getting to be very high resolution, up to like 4K, even 4K per eye. So that's a lot of power that you need in the GPU to be able to do all of that. Now, to do that with ray tracing, which means back to what we were talking before, you're using physics to bounce photons around. It's a lot of computation. That is super complex, both in terms of the software and the hardware. Keep in mind, you have to do this all in not just real time, at three times in real time, which is like 90 frames a second times two eyes of 4K. Huge amount of compute. Now at NVIDIA, we're able to do that with Omniverse. It's kind of a first of its kind. So yeah, it's game changing to be able to have realistic lights and shadows coming in on your VR headset. Is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, because that definitely helps with that immersion, as you said too. Like Again, if someone's trying to walk through a house and understand, hey, this is where the light's coming from, and really say if you're gonna trying to sell a house to someone, and to be able to visually see that with the ray tracing and see how everything's gonna reflect, that just adds that immersion
Yeah,
factor.
I love that idea too, what you said, Sean, is kind of taking that blueprint. Because back in the day, like, okay, if you had, say, a 2 or 3 story home, it's like individual sheets of this is the layout and everything like that's where
Right.
now, again, you can have, like, with virtual reality, a walkthrough and seeing, like you said, if something's off, like, hey, let's adjust this. Let's add a window here to get natural light here. Or, you can make all those adjustments, which is great. And, leading into that, from virtual reality and just all the technology that NVIDIA is doing, I think another thing to maybe talk about is AI. I know in the virtual event you used a really good scenario. I think you referred it to as like a pot, and you're watering a plant, and your plant's like taking some of it. I mean, I'm probably botching it right now. I'll let you say it, but like,
You're doing a good job.
yeah, all
That's
right,
it.
thank you, thank you. And it
That's
was.
my analogy.
Yeah, it was a great analogy of saying, because like that water going through is like all the AI taking care of the rest of the stuff. So how do you, again, how do you see AI evolving within the AECO industry?
Well, so just one example, it, on the rendering side. So to now rendering is not going to go away. But to generate a rendering takes a certain amount of care, expertise, and setup. You have to assign materials. You have to determine lighting, and so there's a workflow to do that. But with if you've tried Stable Diffusion or any of those type of GPT solutions for images, you can type in words and it generates an image. What you can also do is the AI generates an image. What you can also do is use a reference image. So that reference image could be a sketch a house, and then upload it into the chat GPT type of interface and add some words like take this house and put it on a mountain and put brick materials on it, and show me what it's going to look like. And so it's that, and you get a nice looking, almost like photorealistic, rendering. It's not a rendering, it's an AI generated image, generative AI. Now, the same can, let's take that one step further. And there's applications like this from software vendors on the market where you can have like a wireframe 3D model on your screen in one viewport, like for example, from Revit. And on the other screen, it's referencing that wireframe model and showing you what that would look like on a mountaintop with brick materials and windows and doors, and without you having to actually do all the work. Now, the quality, everything, it's not quite the same as professionally done 3D rendering. But if you think about like the conceptual design process and being able to sketch something quickly and then be able to see it without having to do all the work, it's pretty incredible. That's just one example of how AI is going to influence the way we work. And I think that's just like the tip of the iceberg, because pretty pictures, we have much more fundamental problems to solve in AECO on the construction site and efficiencies in the design process, leveraging existing data to avoid mistakes and to accelerate the process, improve collaboration, reduce costs, improve sustainability, and on the construction site, improve safety. AI is going to You're going to see hundreds, if not thousands, of solutions in the next couple of years that are going to use AI to solve these problems that have been longstanding and really too expensive and time-consuming from a human point of view to solve without AI. Now that AI is available and the computing, the biggest barrier for AI has been the availability of the enough compute capability to do this all in real time. But it's thanks to NVIDIA solutions. It's here now.
Right. Yeah, it kind of seems to me like efficiency is the name of the game in the sense when it comes to AI, whether you're using it in all these different types of markets, especially focusing in AECO, in where it's like, okay, we just need to cut down the time to be able to do this correctly, but as efficient as possible. That just seems like that's really the motive, when it comes to AI and increasing all of that.
Yeah, and going back to Stable Diffusion too, like that's something we're actually playing in the back here a little bit, because it's, again, like the chat GPT, but now you can say, like, again, give me a house with brick exterior and just it spits something out, but also too to keep in mind, like that's going to take a lot of compute power and memory. I think just we told it to make a generate a picture of a dog in the sky or whatever, and it was using a quite a bit of memory. So I think again, even going to just memory and just compute power, the Ada generation is great within the AECO industry as well, which we hit on in the virtual event a little bit too.
Yeah, it's a great point, Derek. And this is why, as I was referencing at the start of the call, the GPU is evolving. So where it used to be, okay, you have to create a balanced workstation. You need, you got your memory, your storage, your CPU, your GPUs for graphics. And so you take that measure into account. But now it's different because the GPU is no longer just for graphics. The GPU is still doing all that graphics work. But on top of that, it's also doing real-time ray tracing, which is a compute function. It's using those RT cores to compute the physics. Real-time ray tracing is also using AI. It's using something that NVIDIA invented called deep learning super sampling. And that basically predicts what the pixels should be so they don't all have to be computed, therefore accelerating that frame rate. And that's what enables us to get up to that 90 frames per second for the 2x90 frames for the VR. So it's, and we have special cores on our RTX GPUs called tensor cores. So we have RT ray tracing cores, we have tensor cores for the AI inference. And now there's all these other applications that are going to be using those tensor cores for all these other AI workloads. So when doing the workstation configuration, you really need to take into account that you're going to be doing graphics, you're going to be doing ray tracing, and you're going to be doing AI inference on the tensor cores, and you're going to be doing more because there's this other thing that NVIDIA brings to the table, which is called CUDA. And CUDA is an SDK, a developer tool that our software partners, Autodesk, Esri, Bentley, Hexagon, Trimble, et cetera, Nemetschek, et cetera, uses as a programming language to do what's called parallel computing, which enables them to do lots of processing of different tasks in parallel on the GPU. So you're going to see more and more of functionality inside the applications you use every day doing non-graphical computing directly on the GPU.
All right, Sean, that was really in good information. Is there any other thoughts that you have on AECO or kind of just want to touch on?
Yeah, well, I think the moral of the story is the GPU is going to be an indispensable tool in your workstation, much more so than ever before, for AI, for computation, for graphics, and for real-time ray tracing. So take all of those things into account when you're deciding on what size of GPU you need for you or for your internal users. We're happy at PNY and NVIDIA to help you and answer your questions for all your multitude of use cases, including reality capture, BIM, rendering and ray tracing, design reviews with XR, AR, and of course, everything to do with AI. So thank you very much, guys. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, Sean, thank you
No,
so much.
thank
We
you.
appreciate you being on our virtual event. We appreciate you joining us on the PNY Pro podcast. Thank you for your time and all this great information. And who knows, maybe we can cross paths again sometime in the future. Again, we'd love to have you on again.
Yeah, this was a really great episode.
Yeah. So, Jerome, real quick, go ahead. Tell everybody where can they find us?
Yeah, so you can find us at PNY Pro at all of our social media accounts, or you can listen to us on your favorite podcast platform.
Great. Well, hey, Sean, thank you again so much for being on here, and we look forward to have you on a future episode.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Take care.